නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ඒකායනෝ අයම් භික්කවේ මග්ගෝ සත්තානං විසුද්ධියා ශෝක පරිද්ධවානං සමතික්කමාය දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්සානං අත්ථගමාය ඥායස්ස අධිගමාය නිබ්බානස්ස සච්චිකිරියාය යදිදං චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are discussing Mahasatipatthana Sutta, which is available in Majjhima Nikaya as well as in the Digha Nikaya. And here, this sutta is directly related to our practice because the mindfulness is well explained in many different ways in this Satipatthana Sutta. So we are discussing part by part. We already discussed Kayanupassana, where Buddha starts with mindfulness on breathing and then going to various postures and then to various other small activities, daily activities that we are involved with, and then getting to looking at the body in a different way, different manner, rather than simply thinking it's really auspicious, really happy, pleasurable sort of thing. Buddha asks us to look at its nature in a loathsome manner, and then we are looking at it as elements in the Dhatu Manasikara section, and then at the end of the life, so after death, so what is going to happen to this body? So various stages of decaying corpse are discussed later. So these are included in the Kayanupassana section, so that fair understanding about the body is available for a practitioner. And then it leads to Vedanupassana, where various feelings, it may be pleasurable feelings, painful feelings, and then the equanimous feelings are discussed. Then we lead to Chittanupassana, where observation of the mind, various states of the mind are discussed. Now we are dealing in the Dhammanupassana section, where some deep and very interesting subjects are being discussed. So in this section, we already discussed Nivaranapabba, where the arising of various hindrances, how they persist in the mind, and how they are passing away, how they are disappearing, fading away. So that is being observed in one's own mind at that very moment. It is not that we simply learn this and for the sake of intellectual understanding, but we ourselves have to apply these teachings to our mind. So that is the most important thing. So how to properly reflect one's mind, reflect one's body, reflect on various feelings, so that has to be applied practically. That is very important. So otherwise this session will be a simply a sort of a theoretical session. Rather, we simply get the guidance from the Buddha's teaching so that we have to apply it again and again into our own mind, into our own body, into our various feelings. So after get on to Nivarana, hindrances, then Buddha teaches us various aggregates. So according to the Buddha's teaching, now this whole subjective experience is divided into five categories, five aggregates, so that we can get a better understanding, better perspective of what is really going on. Typically, if we consider when we are going through some experience, it is not the pure transaction between the outside and the inside happens, but rather a fair amount of preconceived ideas are coming to the picture, and again various preconceptions are coming to the picture, perceptions are coming to the picture, and our own various ideas are coming to the picture. So we are experiencing something colored, something conditioned. So as a result, there are many complications happen, and we are getting entangled in this whole experience, and we are getting to wrong understanding, wrong views as well. Now Buddha asks us to look at this whole experience according to the five aggregates. So when it comes to the form aggregate, then Buddha discussed about the various aspects of the form, and then comes to the what you call the feelings, where various feelings are being discussed, and then come to the perceptions, where the perceptions are discussed, and various constructions, various fabrications, formations are discussed under the sankhara aggregate, formations aggregate, and the very knowing part, cognition part, is discussed in the consciousness aggregate. So likewise, this whole experience can be divided into five aggregates, and that is what we are discussing right now. So we already had discussion during the last week related to the five aggregates. So there I introduced you what are the definitions of these aggregates, and again various similes which Buddha very beautifully explained in the Penapindubhama Sutta are discussed during the last session. Now, if anyone new to this session or anyone missed the session, so you can go to Nisaranoni website and you can refer the previous recordings, because otherwise it's difficult to understand from this point onwards, because we are already established fair amount of understanding on this topic. Now, when it comes to aggregates, so now we are going to little deep aspects. So Buddha mentions in the Panchavaggiya Sutta, that is sometimes called as the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, which is this particular sutta Buddha preached to five ascetics, Kondañña, Baddiya, Vappamahānāma, Assajī, in order to attain enlightenment. So you know, you have heard that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is the first Dhamma sermon to them, and hearing which Venerable Kondañña attained Sotapanna, and then Buddha preached more Dhamma to the others, and ultimately altogether to everyone Buddha preached Anatta Lakkhana Sutta or this Panchavaggiya Sutta, hearing which they all became fully enlightened. Now in this sutta, Buddha is taking a very good point, where Buddha mentions that each aggregate is sort of non-self. You have no control over them, you have no command over them, you can't keep them under your control. Rupam bhikkhave anatta. So Buddha mentions that this form is non-self. There is no any self in it, there is no any soul in it. And Buddha points out a kind of a logic here, telling that if there is a soul there, if there is some sort of a core there, then and again which is obeying our orders, then it has to be sort of governable as we wish. Say for example, if our body going through some sort of a sickness, since we are not really liked it, and if we want to get rid of it, so once we wish that I want to become free from it, then it should change. But there is no such command. Similarly, the feelings. Assume that you are going through some painful feeling and you don't like it, and you wish that I may free from this painful feeling. But it doesn't go like that. So that indicates that it doesn't behave as we wish. It doesn't sort of can be controlled as we wish. So therefore we can say it is not mine, it is not me. Typically, when something belongs to me, I have some control over it. But none of these aggregates have such property. They behave as they wish or as according to their own causes and conditions, and we have very little control. So therefore Buddha mentioned that these all aggregates are very impermanent as well as non-self. So by seeing this, Buddha mentioned that one gets disenchanted about these five aggregates. Actually, these five aggregates, not just the present aggregates Buddha discuss here, and even the past aggregates, even the future aggregates going to arise, and the present aggregates, Atita, Anagata, Pachyuppan, and then Ajjata, Bahira, all aggregates which we can consider as internal, and everything external, And then ඕලාරිකංවා සුකුමංවා. So those are the gross parts as well as the subtle aspects. And heenangwa panitangwa, very refined, very fine, soft parts as well as the gross parts and as well as the soft parts. Yandure santikeva, what are the parts available in the far and what are the ones available in the close vicinity. So everything is included. So likewise, these five aggregates, when we are discussing, so we can say that nothing is excluded. Everything is fairly included in these five aggregates. All the conditioned phenomena can be considered within these five aggregate system. Now, when one reflects about these five aggregates like that, so one gets disenchanted, has a better understanding about them. So wisdom arise. As a result, he become dispassionate. So that is why this whole five aggregate system is fairly considered as a sort of a way of enlightenment, as a method of enlightenment. So if one has a very good understanding about these five aggregates, so that mention that one can completely cut off craving. Say, for example, there is a very beautiful Theragatha, Samidatta Theragatha, where Venerable Arahant Samidatta mentions Panchakhanda Parinyata Tithanti Chinna Mulaka Vikhino Jati Sansaro Natthi Dani Punabhavoti. So he mentions that he has fully comprehended the five aggregates, and all those are now like cut off palmyra trees. And Vikhino Jati Sansaro, as a result, he was able to completely uproot this sansara, this ongoing cycle, and Natthi Dani Punabhavoti. There is no rebirth for me. So likewise, you can understand if one has a very good understanding about these five aggregates, very practical understanding, and he is properly acting on them, and then there's a way of freedom ultimately one may experience. Now there's another very beautiful conversation happens between Venerable Vajira and the Mara while she was in Andhavana. So you know, during the Bhikkhuni Sasana, there are many enlightened Bhikkhunis, and one of them is called Vajira. So one time she was living in Andhavana, and there Mara, you know, the evil one, thought that I want to sort of make her fearful, frightened. So he come to meet Venerable Vajira, and he is putting a question just to confuse her. And he is asking, who is the owner of this body? Who's the owner of this conditioned thing? And who owns it? And what, who is the being in it? Who is the being owns it? So likewise, as a sort of a personality view, as a sort of a self view, he is asking a question. Then Venerable Vajira understood that he is the Mara, and then she is giving a very beautiful simile to explain the situation. She mentions that yatahi anga sambhara hoti saddo ratho iti evang khandesu santesu hoti sattoti sammuti. Now you know there are various vehicles. So if we discuss in terms of today's terminology, say you are taking four wheels, four tires, and say various components, body, bonnet, engine, seats, steering wheel, petrol, and so many components, so many parts together, and you assemble it in a particular style. And ultimately, you can call it as a car, as a vehicle, as a bus, as a van. So different terms can be given. So, but we analyze it once we disassemble it. So there are many components are there. There is no car, there is no motorcycle, there is no bus. But what is available is various components. But once we fix them together, once we properly combine them together, assemble them together, we call it a car. We call it a vehicle. So similarly, but this Vajra mentions, Venerable Vajra mentions, all these various parts comes together. It is called a vehicle. Similarly, evam khandesu santesu. So when these five aggregates comes together, then there is a term called a being. So it is a kind of a sammuti, convention. There is no reality there. There is no essence there. There is no kind of a substantial essence there, but it's a kind of a sammuti, convention. And there she mentions that only the suffering arises and only the suffering is available, and nothing apart from suffering is happening, nothing apart from suffering is fading away. So this is something very interesting, because we all consider everything exist. Or sometimes we go to the other extreme, thinking that everything does not exist. And here, the beautiful conditioned nature is fairly highlighted, where various components are coming together, and then we call it a name, we give it a name, we give a kind of a convention. And ultimately, what happens is we forget this fundamental nature. We forget that this is for the mere communication. Easy communication, we have established some sort of a convention, and we start to think that convention is true, convention is the reality. So this car exists, this car belongs to me, so this car is a solid thing, solid one unit. So we get trapped in this convention. But the analysis according to these five aggregates help us to again disassemble the whole system, whole experience. And therefore, we are able to understand them again in the proper perspective. So that is the important thing. Now, understanding our own experiences related to this teaching is therefore very important. So, there Buddha mentioned, පුනචපරම් භික්ඛවේ භික්ඛු ධම්මේසු ධම්මානුපස්සී විහෙරති පංචසු පාදානක් ඛන්දේසු. So they are a practitioner looks at the five clinging aggregates. කතංච භික්ඛවේ භික්ඛු ධම්මේසු ධම්මානුපස්සී විහෙරති පංචසු පාදානක් ඛන්දේසු. Now Buddha is going to teach how one may look at five aggregates properly. So there he mentioned ඉතිරූපං ඉතිරූපස සමුදයෝ ඉතිරූපස අත්ථගමෝ. So with respect to the form aggregate, one understand, okay, this is the form aggregate. This is how it is arising. This is how it passes away. Iti vedanaya samudayo, iti vedanaya attagamo. So this is the feeling aggregate, this is how it arises, and this is how it fades away. Iti sanya samudayo, iti sanyaya attagamo. So this is the perception aggregate, this is how it arises, and this is how it passes away. Iti sankhara nan samudayo, iti sankhara nan attagamo. This is the formations aggregate, and this is how it formed, it is generated, accumulated, arises, and this is how it fades away. Iti vijnanasa samudayo, iti vijnanasa attagamo. This is the consciousness aggregate, and this is how it generates, genesis of the vijnana, and this is how it fades away. Iti ajjattaṃ vā dhammesu dhammānu passe viharati, bahiddhā vā dhammesu dhammānu passe viharati. So with respect to the so-called internal aggregates, one can consider this. External aggregates also one can consider this. So there you can understand, one has to understand each aggregate properly. So that's why I try to give a full definition about each aggregate during the last time. So after understanding that, realizing the theory, so you need to apply that theory to your own experience. Say for example, right now you are listening to Dhamma, and so the ears are involved, the sound is involved, and various instruments are involved. So we can say in this experience, all these sounds, our ears and the instruments, physical instruments, everything comes in the forms aggregate. And assume that you are getting a sort of equanimous feeling, or maybe a little happy feeling. So that comes under the feeling aggregate. And each word that you are listening, hearing, so you can interpret. You have your own understanding about various terms, words, and you get the meaning, you understand the meaning. So they are the perception aggregate. And you don't stop there, you simply start something, looking at it, you ponder about it, you add to your own understanding, you add to it, you subtract it. So likewise, you do sort of formations, and that comes under sankhara aggregate. And again, you have an intention to listen to them. So that's why you join to this session. So that very intention is sankhara aggregate. And again and again, you are hearing, you are seeing, you are perceiving, and many events are happening. And again, eyes are involved, ears are involved, mind is involved. So the cognition part is also there. So that comes under the cognition or the consciousness aggregate. So likewise, each experience can be properly analyzed according to these five aggregates. So when one understands these five aggregates among them, so we can't say that all five aggregates are very prominent, but either one or two may be very easy to understand, become prominent, and others may be not that prominent. Others too there, but one of them may be prominent. So that is enough. So say for example, so you are assume at this moment you understand the perception aggregate. So you consider that properly. So you understand how it is arising, how it is passing away. At another time, suppose you understand the feeling aggregate. So you consider how it arises and how it passes away. At another time, you may understand the form aggregate, how it arises and how it passes away. So as I mentioned during the last time, in the Kayanupassana section, we give prominence to the forms aggregate. Vedanupassana section, we give the prominence for feeling aggregate. Chittanupassana section, we give the prominence for consciousness aggregate, perception aggregate, and the formations aggregate. And in the Dhammanupassana sections, actually, all the aggregates are considered. And that's another very beautiful sutta I like to consider with respect to this. Now, it is called Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, comes in the Kanda Samyutta, where Buddha mentions, if one has good concentration, collected mind, then there's a high possibility of understanding or seeing things as they truly are. So one has to have a good concentration, collected mind, and that can be used to properly understand the things as they truly are. Now, there Buddha mentions there are five aggregates, and those five aggregates has to be properly understood. And how they are arising has to be properly understood. And how they are passing away has to be properly understood. So there he gives us a very interesting information where how these aggregates coming to being. So the causes are discussed here, and which is fairly related to the paticca-samuppada, conditioned nature. He mentions that when we are delighted in form, when we are sort of talking about the form, when we are get on to the form, we absorb to the form, we really grasp the form, so then sort of a nandi, what you call some sort of delight, sort of happiness going to be arised. Say for example, you like to think about the future, some event about happening to your children. So you are thinking. So once you are thinking, okay, I am now bringing up this my child, my son. So he may be in the future become a doctor, we say. So you have that imagination and sort of an ambition, and now you think about him. So as you think, so this is, we can say, kind of a perception aggregate. And as you think, so there's a kind of a happiness arise. Okay, you are imagining, okay, he behave like this, he behave like that. So sort of happiness arise, pleasure arise, And as a result, you attached it. As a result, you grasp it. And then this future event is now generating in your mind. So kind of a perception, kind of a dream, fantasy is arising in your mind. So now you are living that. So you are experiencing that fantasy. You're going through that fantasy. So assume that you are closing your eyes. Now you are dreaming about it. And you are in a different world now. This bhava, you are in a different world. Now you are born to it. But ultimately, you will understand it's simply a dream. It's simply a projection in the mind. And there may be a kind of a disturbance coming that you have to open your eyes. And again, the whole thing collapses. So now the perception aggregate has accumulated. So you are sort of fertilizing it. You are feeding it, strengthening that perception aggregate. And this actually includes feeling aggregates as well. This actually includes a lot of fabrications as well. So you have to imagine, you have to fabricate, you have to construct in your own mind. You are weaving various thoughts. So the forms aggregates are also included. And the mind is heavily included, and the various conscious feelings are happening. So likewise, these five aggregates coming to being, because of this attachment, because of we do get some sort of happiness as we do this accumulation, as we allow them to form. If we take another example, say you have seen someone. At that time, sort of a pleasurable feeling arises. Assume that there's a young boy and he see a young girl. So at that time, there's a sort of a pleasure arise in his mind. So this pleasure, now he attached to. Now he grasp this pleasure. Now, as a result, kind of a different world arising in him. Now he is imagining. So I am going to marry her. I am going to ask from her. I want to find her, I want to love her. So whatever it is, now kind of a different world is arising for him. Now he is not in the present moment. He lost the present moment. He is now entangled. He is now in a different world, in a dream, fantasy. Now assume after a while that she disappears, she may get down from the bus. And she goes away. And this boy has simply come back to the present moment. Now this dream world finished. Dream world has collapsed. Now he again become disappointed. Because she has gone. So you can say. Now whenever we have this sort of. Delight in the mind. Into these five aggregates. So we tend to grasp it. And we tend to create a world. After that. So we are now in a dream, we are now in a fantasy. And now this fantasy arises and exists for a while. And we go through various situations, states, and ultimately it also collapses. Now this is how Buddha mentioned in this Samadhi Bhavana Sutta. So the arising of the five aggregates are happening. Each time, each aggregate, we do like that. So when it comes to the form aggregate, we do this sort of a happy attachment. So when the form is generating, when the body is generating some sort of a happiness, pleasurable feeling, so we delight on it. We grasp it. We absorb to it. We adhere to it. And so more and more fabrications are happening. More and more formations are happening. More and more different perceptions are happening. So aggregates are now generating. Say when you are attached to some pleasurable feeling, so you delight in it. So you grasp it. And you hold it. And as a result, you come into a different world. You are not in the present moment. You lost the present moment. Now you are fully entangled. And ultimately, that also collapses. So each aggregate, we behave like this. So we need to humbly recognize this nature. So we have to look at how I am formulating these aggregates, how I am fertilizing these, how I am encouraging them. So when we see something, so we encourage this kind of a process. So we are generating kind of an experience from it, and we feed it, we encourage it, and we start a dream out of it. We start a story
out of it. So we need to properly recognize it. Now this Buddha says it's a samudaya. Samudaya of the rupa, samudaya of the vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. So this is the genesis. So this is how it comes to being. And we are formulating it. We are forming it, generating it. And what is the other side? So how we can stop it? So there we have to stop that delight. So when we see a form, how can we stop at that level without getting on to any sort of a delight, without going to any sort of an agitation? Just seeing. And similarly, when we are experiencing a feeling, it may be a pleasurable feeling, so how can we simply detach from it? So pleasurable feeling is merely a pleasurable feeling. So if we stop grasping, if we stop sort of getting delighted from it, if we stop trying to possess it, so simply the feeling may disappear. Similarly, the painful feeling, if we stop grasping it, if we stop trying to get rid of it, so it may arise and then it pass away. So if we can stop this reaction, if we can stop this grasping, so then that generating part we stop. So they may comes to be because of various causes and conditions, but we are not acting on it. We are not going to grasp it. We are not going to hold it. Rather, we simply allow them to fade away. So that will stop the generation of these aggregates. That will stop the accumulation of these aggregates. So this is the method Buddha mentioned, that one can allow these arisen aggregates to pass away. So as the aggregates are arising, we are not now going to delight on them. We are not going to grasp them. If sort of a habitual tendency, if there is grasping happens, so we understand it. So we stop there. We are now allowing to fade it away. Now that grasping disappear. So without grasping, there is no bhava, there is no becoming. There is no a dream generated, there is no fantasy world generated if there is no grasping. And when there is no such fantasy, when there is no such new world, different state, becoming, so then there is no birth. And when there is no birth, there is no decay, there is no death, there is no sorrow, lamentation, this whole vicious cycle going to collapse. So this vicious cycle does not stay longer, and you can may even stop it altogether. So there, the important point is, so once we analyze, or once we understand the five aggregates, so we need to understand, am I feeding it? Am I getting delighted on any of them? Am I holding any of them? Am I promoting any of them? Am I fabricating any of them? Or simply am I able to observe it detached manner? I can step back and watch it. Allow it to come, allow it to be, allow it to go. Rather than I am doing some fabrication. I am involved in it. I am trying to delight in it. So I am not adding anything into it, into the picture. Now, if one can do this, then Buddha says this, the accumulation of aggregates starts to fade away. Accumulation of aggregate does not happen. They simply come due to various causes, and we are aware of them, and we are not grasping them, we are not becoming delighted on them, and then simply they pass away. Now, so understanding that this accumulation, this genesis, this construction is due to certain causes. So when we understand those causes, so then we can stop feeding those causes. And as a result, the recent aggregates simply become weak and they disappear. So the grasping become weak and then it disappears. So we are not generating a fantasy now. We are not generating a story now. So the mind starts to remain calm. Mind does not get agitated because of the experience. And we understand the various aggregates and we are able to see where we are feeding. So we get a clear picture and we can understand, okay, to which aggregate, to which part I am now become a slave. Now I am a victim. So we are, there you can stop. There you can apply break. And there you allow the thing to pass away. So therefore, in this sutta, in this Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, Buddha mentioned that the genesis of the aggregates are due to this delight, grasping, and holding, and then they accumulate, then they start to grow. On the other hand, if we can stop delight, if we can stop grasping, then they start fading away. On the other hand, Buddha mentioned that the form aggregates are generated because of the ahara, the nutriment, and then vedana, feeling and perception, formations, they all comes to be because of the passa, that is the contact, and the consciousness aggregate comes to be because of nama rupa, that is the name and form. So these are different ways that Buddha described this five aggregates. And Buddha mentioned, so none of these aggregates belong to me. None of these aggregates belong to you. So don't hold these, any of the aggregates. So holding, grasping, getting delighted with it is the problem. So now we need to understand how I can stop it. So this is what actually happens during the Satipatthana practice. So at the beginning, you need to closely observe it. Say for example, you are doing Kaya Anupassana. So there, say you are doing walking meditation, say for example. And you are closely observing the real thing. So the foot touching the ground, hardness is there. Foot touching the ground, softness is there. Foot touching the ground, say heat is there. Foot touching the ground, stiffness is there. So likewise, various properties you recognize. So there we are dealing with the form aggregate into its very fundamental level, primary level, and the form aggregate being properly understood. So you understand, okay, this is the form aggregate. This is the rupakkhanda. And more you do that, so these qualities become more and more evident, and ultimately, so you lose the interest on it. So now you can't grasp it, you can't hold it, so the experience is there, but you are able to observe it in a detached manner. Now the walking happens, but you are outside the experience. You feel like that someone else is walking, and you are simply observing like a third person, as an outsider. So this sort of a perspective change happens, perception change happens. Previously we closely observe it, but later, because of this observation, continuous observation, so you are coming to a situation that you can observe it in a detached manner, in a disconnected manner. Now it is like someone else is walking and you are simply observing. So this is how we practically experience this detachment. Practically experience this unattached observation, uninvolved observation, non-judgmental observation. And as you continue, so you will understand how vulnerable these forms are, how vulnerable, how transient this form aggregate. All these element characteristics are very vulnerable, very transient, completely impermanent. So more and more your understanding grows, and you understand how fragile it is. So how can I expect happiness from this? Is it possible to find lasting happiness from this sort of a transient nature? And is it under my control? Is there any person there? Is it anything substantial there? So more and more, so your wisdom improves, your understanding improves. As a result, the detachment increase, the non-grasping increase. So as a result, so now you are more capable of maintaining an unattached mind. So mind may let go. mind simply give up. Mind relinquish the whole process. And mind finds its own freedom. Mind finds its own freedom. An unattached nature in the mind. So they are very beautifully Buddha mentioned that when one understand how this generation happened or the genesis happened and how one understand that how things fades away. So Atti dhamma tiva panasa sati pachu pattita hoti. Now he understands these are merely aggregates. There is no essence there. Nothing substantial there. There is no I there. There is no person there. There is no individual there. Yavadeva jnanamattaya patissati mattaya. So there he understands, okay, I can further use this each aggregate to improve my understanding, to improve mindfulness, to improve wisdom, to refine mindfulness, to refine wisdom, to deepen wisdom. So he is experiencing various things, but he is wise enough to use that experience to refine his mindfulness, to deepen his understanding. Now, as a result, sort of a detachment happens, and relinquishment happens, and mind recognizes unattached nature, uninvolved nature, sort of a dispassion arises. So there is sort of an unentangled nature in the mind, unattached nature in the mind, unconditioned nature in the mind. And now we'll understand. So this Buddha mentioned, anissitocha viharati, nachakinchi loke upadis. Now he doesn't want to cling to anything, grasp anything. And his mind has the capacity to maintain sort of a freedom, maintain unattached nature, very simple nature, non-fabricated nature, non-constructed nature. And there he got to recognize it, he got to appreciate it. And there we can say, so you can't do it in a day or two, rather you have to have a complete method for that. So the first of all, the aggregate has to be recognized. Then the generation part has to be seen, how they become sort of generated, how they accumulate. So this accumulation has to be recognized. And after stop grasping it, how the whole system weakens, how the whole system collapses, how they disappear. So that also has to be understood. And this arising and passing away nature has to be understood. And in order to further strengthen this understanding, so one has to live a proper path. One has to maintain one's morality. One has to have enough concentration to penetrate this whole thing. And one has to improve one's wisdom again and again. So the sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, wisdom has to be properly maintained. That has to be properly sustained, and the complete path is necessary. So here also we can say the Satipatthana section, where we understand the establishment of mindfulness, and then the how one develops that establishment of mindfulness, Satipatthana Bhavana, and the insights and the path. These three sections can be understood in this Satipatthana as well. So with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
So for all participants, just due to extra security precautions, we prefer for your questions to be submitted via chat, if possible. And I do understand that some people have a maybe longer, more complex question that they'd prefer to ask directly. I think we can allow it as long as your name is a recognizable one. And so I may just request for you to rename yourself in order for you to ask your question, raise your hand and ask your questions directly. So Bhante, I haven't received any questions yet. I think what we're learning right now is so profound. Oh, actually, here's one. Okay, I recognize this one. So Pri, you may unmute yourself. Pri, are you able to unmute your own phone?
Yeah.
Teruvan Sarnai,
Swami Mohan sir. Yeah, Teruvan Sarnai. Swami Mohan sir, my question is when we, during our meditation, when we pay close attention to something, then it disappears. It means our mind gets detached from that. And does it mean that I know the contact is still there? But does it mean that the consciousness is not arising, or we just simply do not perceive it? Or can you please explain in terms of aggregate, how does that happen?
Yeah, actually the attachment start to disappear, start to weaken. So, so mind may simply let go the whole process. Now, at the beginning, we closely analyze it, closely observe it, and as a result, we understand how they behave. We understand that as things as they truly are, and as a result, mind generates some sort of a dispassion. Now, the picture may be there, but mind is not interested. Mind slowly comes back, or we can say step back from the whole process. It doesn't want to get involved. It doesn't want to participate in the situation. Now, typically what happens is when there is something going on, we participate in it. We get involved. But now we do the detached observation. We see it properly and we understand its transient nature. As a result, it starts to become not that interested. So mind doesn't find that this incident interested. It may assume that you are observing the form. So the form become extremely vulnerable. It is so transient, arising and passing away. So mind doesn't want to get involved in it. And slowly it get detached from the process. Not that interested. And everything appear like a flux. And all the beauty, all the, say, various lines and, you know, different signs and everything. So all that become like faded away, little blurred like. So this is how this dispassion arises within the mind. So the now the attachment going to be weakened, involvement going to be weakened, and mind likes to stay quiet, like to stay sort of secluded, be free from this incident, without getting involved in it, without getting attached to it. And ultimately mind completely lets go of it. So, because it understands, so in this sort of a vulnerable situation, in this sort of a transient nature, I can't have any sort of a control. I don't have any self in it. There can't be any self in it because it is constantly arising and passing away. So, nothing permanent there. There is no soul there. As a result, this detachment arises in the mind. Dispassion arises in the mind. So ultimately mind will completely relinquish the process, and it may find its own freedom. So this is how it may get free from all the five aggregates.
So does that mean the consciousness is still there, but it's not making a story out of it or something like that? No sanskara?
Yeah. Exactly. One, we can say there are no sanskara. You are not fabricating anything there. So you are not going to construct anything because of this experience. And again, you are now, we can say, the typical consciousness, the typical conditioned consciousness is not that encouraged now. Say, for example, assume that in the typical experience, once we see someone, as I said, assume that a young boy seeing a young girl, or such situation, the eye consciousness is more and more feeding. Eye consciousness is more and more stimulated.
and now want to talk, now the ear consciousness and the various perceptions and are generated and want to touch. So likewise, the typical constructed consciousness, the conditioned consciousness, is in the arising aspect. But now consciousness aggregate also become weaker, and it says that once the mind has completely gives up, completely relinquished, there is no conditioned consciousness. He may see but not involved. He may hear but not involved. He may even smell, taste and experience, but there is no sort of involvement. So the typical constructed nature is stopped. So therefore, what sometimes mentioned is, this is not the typical constructed conditioned consciousness available, but rather sort of unestablished consciousness is available. The mind is not established at any place. It is not established on the form. It does not establish on the feeling. Not in the perception, not in the, say, fabrication, not in any of these typical eye consciousness, ear consciousness, and all those six types of consciousness. Rather, mind is not established at any place. So this is sometimes we call as anidassana vijnana, where it is not the typical consciousness, typical conditioned consciousness, rather kind of an unestablished nature of the mind.
So I'm trying to understand it in terms of, like, we have a projector and a light beam, and then when light hit the screen, mm-hmm. we see the picture.
Yeah.
But if there is no established one, it is like blurred. Can we say something like that? We can see the picture, there's no film going, it's like the whole screen is like blurred, the contact is still there, but you can't get a picture out of it. Am I correct? Something?
Yeah, to some extent we can say it is true. Now typically what happens is, now when some light is projected onto the screen and it generates, it again and again put more and more slides, and we create a picture, we create a story out of that. Now, when we have the understanding, okay, these are merely slides, these are merely images, these are merely projections, these are merely lights. So then we start to detach from the whole thing. And then for the weaver, so it is a picture. It is not a story. It is not a film. It is not a drama. So it is simply a series of slides, series of lights, series of projections. Now he is not interested of making something out of it, generating a story out of it. For his mind, now it stopped constructions. So he can see, he can hear, but not involved. So he is not established there. He is not there, we can say. There is no I there. And there is no person there, he is not involved there, but rather seeing is happening, hearing is happening. Apart from hearing, apart from seeing, there is nothing exist. So these are actually some deep aspects of the Dhamma. So where Buddha very beautifully mentions, say for example in the Kalakarama Sutta, so you see, but apart from seeing, there is nothing substantial, there is no essence there. And there is no seer, there is no person who sees as well.
So is that what we call ditte dittamattam?
We can say exactly. Ditte dittamattam bhavissati, sute sutamattam bhavissati, mute mutamattam bhavissati, vinyate vinyatamattam bhavissati. So this is actually the restrainment part, where when you see something, you stop at that seeing. When you hear something, you stop on the level of hearing. When you sense something, you stop at the level of sensing. And when you cognize something, you stop at the level of cognition. So don't fabricate on it, don't feed on it, and don't make a story out of it. So you restrain yourself. And when you do like that, then there is no person, there is no I in that what you see. And again, there is no person, there is no being, I in this side as well. So, and there is nothing personal in between as well. So this is how the Buddha tried to explain this whole situation, and that is further explained in the Kalakaram Sutta as well. Yeah.
Very clear, Swami
Nahansa.
Much merit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bhante, you, in your talk, you said that the rupa is because of the ahara, it is maintained, and the feelings, perceptions, and mental formations because of asa. And then you said consciousness is maintained because of nama rupa, but isn't consciousness part of nama rupa, nama anyway, Bhante?
No.
Can you clarify that?
Yeah, sure. So actually, this is a kind of a confusion happened during the later analysis happens in the commentaries, but if you go to the early Buddhist teachings, so there are, the nama is five components. We are vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, manasikara. Vedana is the feeling, sanya is the perception, chetana is the the sankhara, the formations. Vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, contact, manasikara is the attention. So these are the five components belongs to the nama. And consciousness is something different, and this nama rupa, rupa part is the elements aggregate, and they are also the sign of the element. Nama rupa, when it comes to nama rupa, name and form, the name is these five components, vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, manasikara. Form is the sign of the form, the rupa sanya, and that is how the nama rupa is defined. And this nama rupa appears in the consciousness. It's very much like, say, when you are projecting a image onto a screen, this image is the nama rupa, and it has a feeling, it has a very we can say the primary level of vedana, it has a primary level of sanya, primary level of intention, primary level of manasikara, and to which it is projected, that is the screen, that is the consciousness. So the consciousness and the nama rupa, consciousness and this name and form are related to each other. They need each other. So consciousness depends on the nama rupa, nama rupa depends on the consciousness. Vijnana paccaya nama rupam, as well as nama rupa paccaya vijnanam. So that is what Buddha mentioned in the Diganikaya Mahanidana Sutta. So this nama rupa and vijnana has a sort of a interdependency. Because of the consciousness, nama rupa arises. Because of the nama rupa, consciousness arises. So they have a kind of an interdependency. Now later what happens is that when one is analyzing these five aggregates, so you will understand, okay, the form aggregates belong to the material side. Other four aggregates, vedana, sanya, and the sankhara and vijnana, those four aggregates belong to the nama side. You know, it is not material. It is, we can say, immaterial. Now, they consider that also, they give the same name, nama, to that part. So that is the confusion happen. So in the typical original teachings, in the authentic teachings, so nama is simply that where the vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, manasikara plus the rupa part, that is the sign of the form. That is the nama rupa. And it doesn't have any consciousness at all. Consciousness is the one which knows, which reflects. So the consciousness and nama rupa are constantly in a kind of an interdependency.
What is the difference between the chetana and manasikara? Can you tell me that something?
Yeah, chetana, chetana we can say is the intention. So this is the one driving us. Okay, I want to ask a question. I want to say, write a letter. I want to listen to Dhamma servant. So this is the driving force in us. So this is the chetana. And manasikara is how we pay attention to it. So we are drawing our attention to it. We are focusing onto it. So this focusing nature, paying attention, that is the manasikara.
So the chetana is the one who, that's more powerful, right?
Yeah, exactly. We can say like that. By the way, so as I mentioned, among these five aggregates, so at many, many different times, each aggregate can come to the front. So others may follow, but you know, the one or two other aggregates are the prominent. So therefore, we can't say, okay, we can't say the feeling aggregate is more powerful than the form aggregates. Say formations aggregate, chetana is more powerful than the, say, another aggregate. We can't say like that. So it changes time to time. One of them may become prominent.
So when we talk of the five aggregates, we don't talk of chetana and manasikara, Bhante?
No, actually, in that system, manasikara included within the formations.
The mental formations of sankara.
Yes, yes.
The other thing I just wanted to ask you in passing is that this, when one gets this feeling of detachment or, you know, dispassion or whatever you want to call it, it's a rather uneasy feeling, isn't it, Bhante?
So, what kind of uneasiness is there?
When you're living in the real world, it's like a frightening, you know, you just sometimes wonder my... Is the brain going a bit depressed or something like that, Bhante? When nothing seems to
happen,
you know, excite you, or nothing seems to, you know, you don't want to do anything very much. I mean,
yes.
So isn't that a kind of uneasy feeling?
At the beginning, it may appear like that. You may feel like a jerk because now typically mind used to attach something. Mind always used to hold something. Mind always want to, used to establish on something. So when you lose this establishment, when you lose this attachment, it appear like a jerk. So you feel like that you are losing your address, you are losing your location, you are losing your establishment. So where to hold, what to attach? What is my savior? So where am I going to hold? So this kind of a jerk can happen. But when you do proper practice again and again, so when you are allowing the self view to deplete without strengthening it, so you can experience this rather than, trying to theoretically understand it, you can experience it. So because, say, for example, you do kayanupassana. Say we take Vedanupassana, say you do Vedanupassana. At the beginning, you are simply grasping pleasurable feelings. You are hating painful feelings. You simply ignore equanimous feelings. But now, because of the Vedanupassana, you are trying to observe each feeling. When pleasurable feeling happens, you observe it. Painful feeling happens, you observe it. Equanimous feeling happens, you observe it. Now, this observation helps you to understand about them. Pleasurable feeling is a pleasurable feeling. You don't need to grasp it. Painful feeling is a painful feeling. You don't need to be afraid of it. You don't need to be very much get rid of it. And this equanimous feeling is also now you can understand. As a result, the detachment happens. Now, assume when you are become more matured in vipassana, so irrespective of the type of feeling, you can simply observe it. You are doing the quite detached observation. And now this passion is there. You are not trying to involve. When a pleasurable feeling happens, you are not that elated from it. You don't want to hold it. You don't want to grasp it. You are not expecting more and more of it. So you have that detached nature in the mind. So assume in a given time, so all these feelings comes and go, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. So your mind now can't see much of a difference because everything is arising and passing away. All the types of feelings, they all show the same category or same picture. Everything arising and passing away, irrespective of the type. It may be pleasurable, it may be painful, it may be equanimous. But now you can't even differentiate which type it is because they all show the same picture, arising and passing away. So because of this rapidity, mind can't see much information and mind loses the signs, the marks, and now everything appears like a flux. So it is not interested now. Now mind becomes more and more dispassionate and ultimately assume mind completely relinquish everything. So when such thing happen, where are you going to establish yourself? So there kind of a jerk can happen. So at that time, if you are brave enough, if you can completely let go of this whole thing, now you are not going to grasp anything in the body. You are not grasping maybe anapanasati or feeling or vedanupasana. You are not grasping anything. If you are able to maintain an unattached mind, anisthitocha viharati, if you are not grasping anything in the world, there you have the potential to experience freedom. So it may be a momentary freedom. You may not have the capacity to maintain it for a long time because of the past habits, habitual tendencies. Mind may go and grasp something. Doesn't matter. But at least for a couple of seconds, mind may experience that detachment. Mind may experience the freedom from anything. Freedom from everything, we can say.
But I... Well, there is a loss. Sometimes I have that loss of interest, which is rather unusual for me. And
yeah, definitely. Because this loss of interest is the dispassion. So you don't need to at that time. If you simply get up from the sitting or stop the walking, then you never go through it. So when you get this dispassion, it appear like boring. It appear like loss of interest. So this kind of feeling is there.
And I thought when we are doing all these things, we are with whatever is happening, we should have more happiness in the spiritual happiness, not the world happiness. But that does not seem to be. So that is also my question.
No, actually the spiritual happiness in the sense, now here, typically, happiness comes at many different levels. Say, when you are experiencing some kind of a calmness, happiness is there. Again, when you are experiencing this arising and passing away nature, that is again a kind of happiness is there. And Buddha says this kind of an unworldly kind of happiness. So the very thing is arising and passing away. The very thing is very transient, and you see that and you understand it. And still the happiness can arise. So that is a kind of an unworldly kind of happiness. You are seeing the true nature of everything. And you have an understanding, okay, this is what I was mistakenly grasping. This is what I was thinking as a person. So where am I? Where was I? I was so stupid. Now only I am having my true understanding. So this kind of a happiness can generate because of the understanding, because of the wisdom. And ultimately, when mind completely relinquish, so that happiness is more matured, and that is, Buddha say, more towards the equanimity. It is not that you become elated or you become start to say laugh or smile or something like that, but rather the happiness is a we can say kind of a serene happiness, equanimous happiness, equanimous kind of thing, a matured happiness. More and more you allow things to pass away. Ultimately, I mean, when the happiness is based on the understanding, so happiness is there. We can't say it is not, but not dependent on the conditioned phenomena. So say for example, when you are happy while eating an ice cream. So one can become happy. One can become sort of pleasurable. So that pleasurable happiness simply goes away once you finish eating it. So it has very short term. But assume that you are experiencing some happiness not dependent on those sensual intact. So, sensual, say, stimuli. So then you are not being happy just because of eating, not because of your, say, seeing, not hearing. But that happiness is more niramisapiti, unworldly kind of happiness. So this is, I mean, so I hope that you get my point. Oh, he disappeared. What happened to her, Jennifer?
I'm not sure. Maybe her internet connection. Oh, wait, no. He's right there.
Maybe relinquished. Probably relinquished the thing.
Oh, yes. She mentioned she did lose connection. Okay. But if you still have questions, Chita Devi, you can raise your hand again. So we'll move on to Indira. You may unmute.
What I understood is when there is an inner chatter going on, or when our mind has got established so that we are in the past or in the future, so when we realize it, that we can stop it and think it is only a aggregate, like either it's a perception or a consciousness, or like because we don't have the wisdom, we go on with the inner chatter.
Yes, correct.
But it helps us to stop ourselves, right?
Correct. Very true. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, then we understand this stupid thing that we are doing. So we are unnecessarily adding something to the situation, to the experience, and we are trying to give our own interpretations, and we are adding our own likes and dislikes into the picture. So once we stop it, so we are reducing the involvement, we are reducing the fabrication, we are reducing our own construction, and then mind calms down. The whole thing becomes sort of disentangled or unentangled. So that is why, I mean, as we discussed earlier, so seeing is there, that's all. You don't need to construct a story. Hearing is there, that's all. You don't need to construct a story. Likewise, even a thought may come to the mind and you are aware of it. And you don't need to weave on it. You don't need to weave a story based on that thought. Simply it comes and you are aware, it will go. So the mind remains sort of stable. Mind remains unentangled. Mind remains conscious but not established. Remain, say, calm, simple.
So we need to stop that thing. It's only aggregate, right? That is what this will help to stop.
So actually, now you are focusing on the what you call this sankhara khanda, the formations aggregate. So formations aggregate is the one constructing, is the one fabricating. So if you stop fabricating, so this fabrication, this theory or the principle can apply to the form, can apply to the perception, can apply to the feelings, can apply to the formations itself, can apply to the consciousness as well. Say for example, when we see a form, it is simply a form, it's simply a making an image. So we are the ones adding to it. We make it beautiful, we make it colorful, and we are giving a name, we are adding a story to it, and we take some past incident involved to it. So based on this form, we do this construction, we do this fabrication. Assume we are experiencing a feeling. So we don't keep the feeling as feeling. So assume that you are getting a pleasurable feeling. So you are adding to it. I want it more. This is my feeling. I am the one going through it. And assume that you are going through a painful feeling. So you are adding to it. Okay, why this happens to me? While all others are going through very beautiful session, so why this to me? I am this poor me. So likewise, you are adding a picture, a image, a story to this feeling. So likewise, we are doing this unnecessary fabrication to each and every aggregate. So as you said, so if we can stop that, so that is good.
It's clear. Yeah.
Okay.
Chiranjani,
you ready to unmute and finish the question? Yes, sir. Thank you. Sorry, Bhante, I got disconnected suddenly in the middle of all these things. But what I believe you were trying to say was that there is a feeling of equanimity rather than this happiness of spiritual. Spiritual happiness is equanimity. Is that what you were trying to tell me, Bhante?
Yeah, it is moving more towards the equanimity. But don't think that is kind of a say very bored, kind of a dry sort of an experience, because the say Buddha mentioned so unattached nature of the mind, unentangled nature of the mind is completely free from stress. So you can't have any suffering there. So in the very beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha mentioned Dukkha Domanassanam Atthagamaya. So you may, your mind may completely free from all sorrow and lamentation and all despair in the mind. So what is the nature of the mind then? So the mind originally may have to have kind of a serene nature, calm nature, simple nature, unentangled nature. And so this is what we got to experience then. So all these sorrow, lamentation, various sadness, and all these are we because of our attachments we create. So once we are able to penetrate that whole thing, so in our practice we may now feel that less sorrow, we may feel less crying or less weeping, we may feel less despair, less unhappiness. So that means happiness, we can say.
I see.
Because I mean,
I think initially it's a little bit uncomfortable, I believe.
Maybe, could be. Because we tend to be happy because of using the five senses. And we think,
yes.
I mean, in order to be happy, we have to use five senses. I want to use my eyes to be happy. So that by seeing, by enjoying various sights, I am becoming happy. By enjoying various sounds, songs, melodies, I am now trying to be happy. By enjoying various fragrances, I am trying to be happy. By enjoying, various tastes, I am going to be happy. By enjoying various contacts, I am going to be happy. So this is the typical panchakamano. This is a typical five sensual happiness now we are knowing. But in the meditation, in the mindfulness practice, so we are getting to a different domain. Happiness is available, but not through the five senses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because in everyday life there, you get a sense of uneasiness, Bhante, because of that.
Because of what?
Because of this loss of interest, you know, loss of interest starts creeping in. And
right.
Then there is a sense of uneasiness,
Bhante. So this actually you have to manage properly. So you have to balance it. I agree with you. Because when the dispassion arises, so you feel like, I mean, everything no use, I don't want.
Yes.
I like to be secluded.
Yes.
What's the meaning of everything? So this kind of little refusing can happen internally. So you have to properly manage it. So, I mean, so you simply, it's a matter of continuing your practice. So, mind may tell different stories, give interpretations, but it's a matter of continuing your practice, because once you are capable, you got the ability to balance it. So, dispassion is also there, but you don't need to be really, you know, depressed because of that. So, you are not going to the other extreme of depression.
Yes. Yes, Bhante.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We have to balance it.
Balance it, yes.
We have to be
have to live in the family life, Navante, so
yes, yes.
It becomes a little bit of a conflict then.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so that's why I mean we need to balance it. We need to consider the whole practice like having medicine. So you don't need to take overdose.
Yes.
let it happen naturally. Allow it to blossom naturally. So then you can go through it smoothly.
Thank you, Bhante. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have patience.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So for the next question, I'd like to invite Shavika.
Hello, Sannai Bhante. Hello,
Sannai. The question I have is when you connect these five aggregates to dependent origination, you know, I just want to take that example. You said that's a boy seeing a girl like in the bus. So that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand like you know how the power you know the becoming like,
yes.
You know
yes.
Happened there like you know seeing the girl. So you are in a kind of a fantasy world.
Yes.
So and then so when that girl leaves, so now the whole world collapses, right?
Correct.
So then. You start feeling sorrow, like you know, all these like the feelings that jara marana. Marana means that's the end of it, right?
Yes, yes,
collapsing it. Yeah, yeah. And then you said, you know, when the bhava stops and the birth stops, so you know, can you please explain that how that you know, when the bhava you know ends there, like. Why there is not another birth? There is another birth, right? In as an example, that world collapsed. Yeah, I understand. But we create another fantasy, right?
Exactly,
you know,
that's the point. So that's what I mean to point out. Once we collapse, once one fantasy collapses, we go to another fantasy. Again and again, we are switching the channels and going to a different world. So we want to again and again re-becoming. So I mean, say when you are assume that you are watching a movie. So that is all now almost finished. Now you are change the channel and you watch another movie, and you change the channel and now you listen to a music, and you change the channel and you now go to enjoy some food. Now you enjoy some music. So again and again, constantly we are making a world. We are re-becoming again and again.
Yeah.
But you can't. But now the pick. Now more we see this. Assume that you stop it. So then what is available?
So basically, what you're saying is not that like you know, okay, when I see something, I you know, basically stop right there, rather creating all the. Formations,
yes.
And you know, just be you know, create that you know, another fantasy world.
Correct.
So when I stop it right there, so that means that basically, bhava ends, right?
Yes.
So
yes. there is no becoming. So bhava tanha.
No becoming.
Yeah, you are not feeding the bhava tanha.
Okay.
Yeah. So you are not feeding the bhava tanha. So the now mind is free from tanha, free from craving, at least for a moment, and sort of a calmness is there. That is, your mind is not agitated now, because mind is not asking anything now. Because again and again, mind asks, no, so I want this, I want that, I want this happiness, I want that happiness.
Yeah.
So again and again, troubling you, again and again, bugging you, asking this and that. Now, once you stop that becoming, once you stop that bhava tanha, so you feel that peaceness. Peacefulness. So you may feel peace. You may feel kind of a calmness. You feel that now you are satisfied. Now, we are not satisfied because we feel that I need something. I want something. I want to become someone. So I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to enjoy this. I want to enjoy that. But once this bhava tanha completely ceases and you feel fulfilled, you feel satisfied.
Satisfied
by having what? satisfied by letting go that desire, not by satisfying the desire. So rather you let go that desire. So desire has ceased. So there is no one to bug you now. There is no desire to sort of agitate you. The desire has gone. Mind has calmed down. So mind originally doesn't need to have the desire. Desire is the one who is, we can say, irritating the mind. Always stimulating the mind. Always bugging the mind. Now, once the desire fades away, rather than feeding it, rather than becoming a victim to it, rather than feeding it, once the desire completely gone, so mind may has its original calmness.
So basically, Bhante, then after that, you know, when the desire, you know, goes away, then actually, you know, we become so calm and we kind of don't want to have, we will not go for another, like, a desire kind of a thing. That is what kind of it means, that there is no birth, right?
Yes, yes. So this, I mean, theoretically we can say so, but I mean, internally this... This habitual tendencies are so powerful. So again and again, mind go and grasp. Now theoretically, we can say if we can completely let go of this bhavatanta, so the mind has to have its inner purity, inner calmness, inner satisfaction, inner fulfillment. But this is what we can say the arahant is experiencing. That is why Buddha mentioned the thirst is gone. You know, the pipasa. Pipasa vinayo, so the thirst. Thirst is another name for tanha. So we are always in a thirst. I want this, I feel this, I want that. So this inner thirst is completely quenched. So then Buddha says the arahant lives completely peaceful. There is no inner thirst. There is no demand coming internally. So he feels fulfilled and the enjoy calmness. So, I mean, the yogi, the typical vipassana yogi, time to time may experience this. It is not that we all have to immediately become arahants, but rather, time to time, at least for a couple of seconds, yogi may experience it. So, there is no agitation coming from the bhavatanha. So, the calmness is there. So, the mind experiences its original peacefulness. So, this peacefulness, as the previous yogi mentioned, appear like boring because there is no stimulation to your eyes, no stimulation to your ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. So that external stimulation is not there. Even they are there, you are not interested. So the mind has completely relinquished it, and mind has find its own solace. Mind has find its own freedom. So this freedom Buddha mentioned, you got to recognize. You got to appreciate. You got to realize. Because this freedom appears like boring. Because our minds are very gross. Very become very rude. And they become happy only when mind is extremely stimulated. Now say for example, if I give a rough example. Say someone is interested on say very noisy music. So if we play a very soft music to him, he may fall asleep. Because his stimulation is very rough. So he used to very rough music, very noisy music. So for him, some very calm classical music appear like boring. Similar to us. So our eyes are stimulating the mind. Ears are stimulating, nose stimulating, body stimulating. So likewise, all these five senses are constant stimulations. And when everything calms down, so the mind feel like nothing to do. So that appear like boring, initially. So we used to, actually, by hearing the Buddha's teaching, once we reach such state, we need to appreciate it. We need to recognize it. We need to maintain it at least for another minute, if possible. So likewise, we have to sort of familiarize with that nature.
Yes, Bhante, yeah, completely understood. Thank you so much, and so much very sincere.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So, Bhante, I guess we will take the last question for
yes,
today.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Kumudini?
It was Avinir Bhante. I was just wanting to add to what she was saying about feeling kind of with meditation that she's doing, especially rising and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what she means, but because it has happened to me too, but what I'm trying to say is that if you ever reach a jhana or something like that, then you realize that there is more to be gained from Niramisa Sukha than Amisa Sukha.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that is also one side. So that is also one side. So by the way, I like to add a point here. Now, in the jhana, again, your mind is absorbed to something.
Right.
So that is one type of happiness. That is one type of happiness. That is also there. I agree, and it is also not coming through five senses. But in the vipassana,
that's right.
So in the vipassana, it is different from jhana, where your mind become happy not by even absorbing to anything, just by because of the freedom. Say for example,
I attain the jhana through the vipassana.
Yeah, that can also possible. Yes, but there you need to see. Now you may start through vipassana. You may start completely calming down the mind, stopping the inner chatter, and then again get on to the second jhana or something like that. Possible, but there try to keep some detachment with the object, not getting too closed.
Yeah.
So, what is your approach?
Understand.
What is your approach?
Yeah. When I attained the jhana, I didn't even know too much of all these terminologies and all this dhamma as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just, by doing the vipassana that I attained the jhana, and I realized to myself, but before that I was feeling, you know, this dispassion. You know, coming on me like she described. But when I got this jhana, then I realized to myself there's so much more happiness in what Buddha has taught than we ever would understand.
Yeah, so can you experience
that's in God.
Yeah, by the way, can you experience the jhana that you are mentioning here little bit, how you go through the process?
Explain to you?
Yes.
But I was doing vipassana meditation using the body sweeping technique taught by Goenka.
Right.
And I didn't know too much about the Dhamma or anything like the first time I attained it.
Correct.
Then I was getting detached more with the sensual world. You know, things that go on in the daily life.
Right.
And then one day I experienced something like, was you know, the flux of all this happening like an electric current all over my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it crashed down.
Mm-hmm.
Like as though I dissolved sort of thing.
Correct. Got it. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, I realized something happened to me. I didn't quite know. Like,
yes.
After that, you know, I realized that there is more to this than this dispassion.
So, there are actually this. This is not the typical jhana that comes in the terms. So, the typical jhana is something that you attach. Attach in the sense you absorb. But here, these are not typically called as jhana. We call them as vipassana understandings or vipassana knowledges.
I see.
So sometimes we can call animitta samadhi, appanihita samadhi, sunyata samadhi. So those are the terms typically used in the vipassana side, where when you are understanding that all the sensations are so vulnerable, so transient, everything's arising and passing away. So ultimately, mind completely relinquished everything. So now mind can't get any sign. Mind can't get any mark. So mind, as a result, mind completely relinquish everything and you feel freedom.
Right. That's what I felt.
Yeah. So
such that freedom that it was like unbelievable.
Exactly. So this is what we call as animitta samadhi, appanihita samadhi, sunyata samadhi. So these are available in the vipassana and they are more powerful than the typical jhana. You can say.
Oh, I see them. I've heard about that.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. So that is why, I mean, in the vipassana, so when for a vipassana yogi, so he is not that he is in a depressed mode. Rather, as when one going through it, various states of the path may be available. One may come to, one may experience different ups and downs. True. But overall, when as you move forward, so it may go into the sort of the spiritual kind of an understanding, maturity, and kind of unentangled mind, calm mind. So that is what Buddha emphasized. Anisitoja viharati nachakinchi loke upadhi. So one tries to live, keep the mind unentangled, keep the mind unattached, keep the mind uninvolved, keep the mind non-grasping, simple. So this is the direction that we need to move forward.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't quite know what happened to me, so
fine.
Except that I am learning now.
Good. Okay, then we have spent almost 1.5 hours. So with that, we like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. We'll share the merits. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.